Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastor Taiwo Dukoya, the senior pastor of the Fountain of Life Church. It is our prayer that the message you're about to hear will no doubt shape your destiny in Christ. Be blessed as you listen.
So I take my text from the Gospel according to St. Matthew from chapter 2. I'll read the first 12 verses. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship." Hallelujah. We have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him troubled. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also." When they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. Hallelujah. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Praise the Lord. There are a lot of lessons here, but I want to tag this. Maybe one more scripture before I give you the title of the message. Proverbs 13:20. He who walks with the wise, or he who walks with wise men, with the wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. The title of this message, though it's going to be brief, Walking with Wise Men. It is clearly established, whether through experience or tradition or scientifically, that the company you keep will determine what you become. It is clear. I mean, that's just true. No matter how good you are, if you keep a company that is less than where you are long enough, you'll be reduced to that level. And that's why the Bible says, "Do not be deceived. Bad company will," not maybe, "will corrupt good morals." No matter how morally sound, if your choice of company is such that they are totally, totally anti-moral, you will become immoral. That's not to say that you should live an ascetic life. That's not to say that you should not be should not reach out to those who are not like you. No, 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 that's not it. What he's just saying is that you can't be close enough to begin to take on their values. What this scripture says simply is this: your company will produce you. Your environment will make you. And that's why I think today we should keep company with the wise men. Hello. Glory be to God in the highest. Pastor, it's Christmas Day, honest. But this is Christmas story. Glory be to God in the highest. Amen. The first thing that hits one is this. In this Matthew chapter 2, let me go back there. Matthew 2. I'm very certain that somebody is getting a Christmas package. Oof. Out of here today, that will affect your entire life from now on. In the name of Jesus. Say, why are you so sure? I'll tell you, number one, because God said it. Number two, because I am sure I will be one of them. In the name of Jesus, I'll be one of them. Glory be, I feel the fire. Glory be. I'll be one of them. Amen. Matthew chapter 2. In other words, no matter how good you are, you're going to get better. No, that amen is too. The thing about it is that Jesus now had been born. Now, after. And I want to tell you why the Bible will say now, after. Because the very time he was born, we have all the records here. The incidences have been clearly detailed in the gospel. Because the moment he was born, the Bible says that to the shepherds watching their flocks by night. Come on, church, are you here with me? There appeared to them an unusual star, the Shekinah glory of God. Heavens opened and they had a glimpse into heaven. And they were afraid, the Bible says. And whilst they were still there, they saw a band of angels. They saw a choir that were not standing on platforms. They were standing on something that could not be seen. And their voices were in, And then they came with a message. For unto you this day is born in the city of David a Savior. And they said, don't be afraid. We brought you what? Good tidings of great joy. Hallelujah. So the very, very moment was clearly captured here. So it was after that moment, that's why you're here. Now after, okay. After he was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod, and now of course, the Bible has a way of mentioning names and events and issues because they will come in handy to teach a lesson. So it wasn't the timing now, it's clear. Herod was the king at the time. Good. Wise men. My challenge is, why wise men? Why not men? Because they were wise. Glory be to God in the highest. And they came from the east. Okay? And where did they come to? They came to Jerusalem. Okay? And they came asking questions. Where is he who has been born? And they didn't stop there. They said, King of the Jews. All right? So what I will just concentrate on, particularly now, or here, because of time, is what actually made them wise. Help me tap your neighbor. Say, this Christmas is so sweet. I can see you are sleeping. Glory be to God in the highest. Amen. Okay, that's all right. It's only this season. You had some Christmas Eve party. That's all right. And the fact that you are here, in spite of how tired you are, tells us that you love God so much. And I want to assure you in the name of Jesus, you are going home with a big, big basket. Yeah. Glory be to God in the highest. So what made them wise? See, the Bible tells us that when they go to Jerusalem, they say, we have come. What did they come to do? Thank you. They came for just one reason, to worship. Come on, church. Are you here? So the only reason these wise men appeared in the story. They came to, come on, talk to me. Worship who? Hallelujah. They came to worship. So if there was one thing that qualified them to be wise, they came to worship. If we go by that, because you have the right motive, you are not here just for tradition. You are here for worship. Let me put this to you. When you began to lift your hand and you began to kneel down, you began to sing, didn't you feel his presence coming down? Because he will respond to anyone that worships him. The Bible says he inhabits the praises of Israel. And Psalm 100, he said, you want to know how to get into the kingdom? I need a key. That shows I'm not hearing you anymore. He said, these are the keys of the kingdom. These are the gates of the everlasting. No. Hold on. You are blowing away from here. These are the keys of the kingdom. These are the gates of the everlasting kingdom. How do we enter?
And we enter in with praise and thanksgiving.
We enter
in with praise and thanksgiving. With praises on our lips, thanksgiving in our hearts. In love and worship of our Lord.
So if you have never heard the gospel before, or you have never been that privileged to worship in any robust manner, shut your door. Say, I just want to worship you, Jesus. And come back after 30 minutes to 1 hour, come tell me your experience. He will attend to you. I assure you in the name of Jesus. He will. He's no respecter of persons. And there's no game about it. There's no trick about it. It's just the simple fact and the truth that he will always respond to worship. So they came to worship him. Fine. So, if I begin to worship Jesus, then I am keeping company with the wise men. You know why I did this? Because that is a point of argument for many religions of the world. Worship God, no problem. Jesus, that's their problem. But this man came to worship the child, the newborn king, whose name was and still is Jesus. All right. Glory be to God in the highest. The difference between Christianity and Islam, they don't agree that Jesus is God, but I'll get there in a minute. So they came to worship. Praise the Lord. But see, how did they worship? Two things. The first one was coming out from the pastors. I didn't let them say it. How did they worship? One, by seeking. Two, by giving. How did they worship? They came seeking him. Let me quickly give you descriptions so that I can run very well. Praise the Lord. Jeremiah 29, help me put it there, from 13 to 15. They came seeking. And you see all through scripture, you find seeking, seeking, seeking. And the truth is this. One of the sure qualities or characteristics of life is the fact that you always have a pursuit at a time. Life without pursuit is no life at all. There will always be someone that you are seeking. Now hear God through Prophet Jeremiah. And you will seek me, come on church, and find me. When you do what? Search for me with all your heart. Go ahead. I will be found by you, says the Lord. and I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations. I will not specific to them, and from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you, which I caused you to be carried away. Now, 15. Because you have said the Lord has raised the prophet. Okay, fine. Now, what I'm trying to stress here is that God says, for everyone that will search for him, for everyone that will seek him, you will find him. Now, how did they worship God? The Bible says the distance from where they were to where they came was over 300 miles. So we look at the distance. Number two, what about the terrain? It was terrible. It was incredible. I mean, wars were going on, the harshness of the wilderness. It was desert, and these people traveled all the way. Number three, what about the risk with Herod? When they came, they were asking for the king, and immediately that aroused some kind of jealousy in Herod. Herod could have arrested them and killed them straight away. But because he wanted to deal with this one that they were coming to look for and not him, he said, you guys go. When you have found him, come back to me, that I may go and worship him. And at this point, one thing occurred to me. And what was it? Number one, they were coming to worship. And the definition of worship was clear. Herod said, I am coming to worship too. And his definition was different. It's not every worship that is worship. It's not. They both said they were going to worship. If I can take your mind back into the Old Testament, when Abraham was going to offer Isaac, he said to them, you come on, my guys, hang here. The lad and I will go up there to worship. I hope you are getting worship now. It's beyond hallelujah. No, it's your heart. How did they worship? They came seeking. How did they come about seeking? Look at all they went through. And I began to look at the Bible. See, I always have needs in life. And the danger is this, that I pursue my needs to the detriment of my pursuit of God. That's why the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Every living one and every living person seeks. So, but what's your priority in seeking? That's the issue. Because you want to understand that these were kings. The Bible makes it clear. They left all, and for almost 2 years, they traveled just to worship. So there's a reason they were called wise. Somebody was speaking. He said, if it's good enough for God, I've put it the way he put it. In other words, it's not some. Say it is the total of worship or no worship at all. You can't share it with them. That's why the commandment says that I shall worship no other God before me. And my joy is this. You and I have come today. If you didn't come, we will arrest you. But I want to give us this just 2 hours of today. Let me worship him. You know, one guy said something. He said, look, how old are you today? Some 20, some 30, some 40. At least we're accountable. Some 50, some 60, some 70. But you do what you want with all your time. And the only time that God says, come, is just the 2 hours on Sunday. And even the 2 hours when the preacher goes beyond 2 minutes. Excuse me. Who gave you the life? Wisdom. Don't mind me, it's wasting my time. Oh, yeah. Sunday morning, that's when I play golf, man. Okay, find another time to worship him. But make sure you worship him. Hello? How did they worship? How? Let me look at my note. So I don't jump anything. Still talking on seeking before I leave that. As born again Christians, remember 2 Sundays ago I was saying it. Romans chapter 5. It says, through the offense of one man, sin reigned, and it's still reigning. But through the righteousness, obedience of that, and the gift of righteousness of one man, we reign in life as kings. Hello. And Colossians 3:1 now says, if we are reigning life as kings, since we have been lifted up and seated with Christ in the heavenly places, we should do what? Come on. We should set what? On things above. He said we should seek the things above, where Jesus is seated at the right hand of God. When I got there, I picked the word seek again. So this is interesting. So in other words, if I'm going to reign like a king, those wise men were kings. If I'm going to remain king and have the results of kings here on earth, whilst I live, then I should be mindful of the fact that he's seated above and around his throne. There is one thing that never stops night and day, worship. And so the first thought that will always cross my mind for anything I do, worship. And if you look at the book of Proverbs, it talks so much of wisdom. It says you should what? Get wisdom. With all you're getting, get what? Understanding. It says because wisdom is the what? Principal thing. Now, hear this advice. It said, hey, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Come on, church. And lean not on your own what? In other words, in all your ways. Come on, help me, church. Do what? And what will happen? He will direct your path. And that brings me to the next thing I want to say. Because they knew who he was and they were coming for that sole purpose, they didn't just come. Heaven accompanied them. The Bible says the Shekinah glory of God appeared and they saw it as a star. Scientists have tried to explain it away. It was a comet. It was an alignment of heavenly bodies. Okay. Whatever you say, then you are going to have us have a better miracle now. If it was just a comet, the dark comet didn't just fall. He guided them. When they got to Jerusalem, he waited for them. He led them to Bethlehem and stopped them in the house. I think that's a greater miracle. Everyone that has this kind of mind, the mind of worship, you are never alone. I'm not talking in abstract. You'll be guided and led through life by the Creator himself. The Word. Hello. Glory be to God in the highest. And so I look at them. I said, today, what are we doing? We are working with the wise. Come on, church. Are you here? Now, if I just drop it there and I want to just kind of project this principle backwards, what makes them wise? Because they are working with the wise. They work with the all-wise God. And they were wise. And if we work with them, we can only achieve one thing. Align with all-wise God and become wise. Hallelujah. Let me say to somebody here, make a miss. Trial and error comes to an end in your life. In the name of Jesus. You say why? Because as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Your decisions and your choices henceforth will be different from what you have been getting. If your probability of success has always been about 60-70%, you are all jumping to 90-something percent. Because when God is involved, there will be a difference, definitely. Glory be to God in the highest. Amen. Isn't God wonderful? So they were led, they were guided until they got there. Glory be to God in the highest. I say glory be to God in the highest. How are they led? Because if I am going to be led today, what I just said is that led by the Spirit. Number two, how are they led? Because they have been reading the Bible. They have been reading the scriptures. How? That was why they were on their watch. Because they have been reading. Some people believe that they came from Babylon, modern day Iraq. I don't know. But if that be the case, it makes it easy for us. Because Daniel dwelt there. Daniel must have affected that place quite a lot. And even the magicians and the astrologers must have been converted. at least converted to the God of Daniel. Glory be to God in the highest. And that's why there will always be a remnant there that will be looking, waiting for the star. While the rest of the world is just swimming out, waiting, looking for the star. And you see, you can only see what you're looking for. Because the question is this: how come this one saw, and even Herod, and the Sadducees, and the Pharisees, and the high priest in Jerusalem, they didn't see? The custodians of the scroll, they didn't see. Those who were teaching, they didn't see. But this one saw. You can only see what you are looking for. And that's why I believe strongly that somebody is here today, something changes for you forever. In the name of Jesus, is what you are looking for that you will see. They were waiting for the appearance of the stars and they got it. And when they found it, they followed it. For one purpose, to worship. Okay, two. How did they worship? When they had come into the house, they found the baby, they found Mary, they found Joseph, and they bowed, and they worshiped, and they gave. Hello? I've got a lot of gifts this season. All my life I've been getting gifts, actually. Sincerely, God is so good to me. I thank God. But you see, when you look at gifts, gifts say two things. The one thing he's saying is the thoughtfulness of the giver. The second thing he's saying is the joy of reception. Sometimes when I get home, Toby say, you are talking psychology. I say, no, it's Holy Ghost. She's the expert in her house. But that's the truth. Why did you give me a shirt? Because you think this man worth this much. And I think I want to give him something that he will like. Hello, are you here with me? So what you are giving me defines my worth. Now, but don't make a mistake. But what my worth that you have will be defined within your capacity. And that's why you cannot disrespect any gift. You can't. You may be damaging something so precious from above. You say, what do you mean? Jesus sat by the altar or at the corner and he was offering tithe. And people were dropping money into the offering basket. Praise the Lord. Tell your neighbor, say Merry Christmas. Glory be to God in the highest. And everybody came dropping stuff. And at the end of the day, Jesus said to his disciples, he said, I saw the greatest giver in the house. So why was Jesus looking at how much they gave? I don't know. But I think that he was because he wanted to teach a lesson. And disciples were like, wow, how much did she give? Permit me to use Nigerian. She gave two kobo. Strange. How can you say she gave the best? Two kobo. I saw someone gave 2 million. How come you say she gave the best? And Jesus explained. She gave her all. So to her God, what? All. So before you dishonor or disrespect the gift, be careful. Come on, church, are you here? Every gift is important. It talks about the heart of the giver. And if you, the receiver, don't appreciate it, God, that is the author of giving, will reward them anyway. Praise the Lord. So, how did they worship? They gave. I was reading something many years ago. A rabbi says, you are such a wonderful lover. He says, if you are such a lover, what are you giving? If you love, you give. You give your time. You give your affection. You give your substance. If you're a lover, you're a giver. Otherwise, it becomes rhetorics. They traveled all the way to worship. And when they saw him, apart from seeking him, saw him, they bowed. Then they opened their chest of treasures. This is who we are. And we've come to worship. And they gave him three gifts. The way you know that, but what I'm saying is that if it's a gift from the heart, it is thanksgiving, it is praise, it is an act of worship. And they gave three. See what happened? The first one was gold. So what were they saying? You are king. We are kings. We've come from our kingly domain to worship the king. So the gift you give says a lot. And that was why they asked the question, where is the child that was born, the king of the Jews? He's the king of kings, the lord of lords. The truth is this, if you don't come to terms with the fact that he is the king, then you are not celebrating Christmas yet. As a matter of fact, the life we live today, like I read from Romans chapter 5, we are kings. Why? Because the king has made us kings. You say, what makes you say so? Because that's what it is. And that's what we make clear here, that the day you get born again, you start to reign in life. Is it possible to be a king and then be a pauper the rest of your life? Yes, if you don't know who you are. But when you know who you are, then you discover that everything created will align and agree with you, because that's who God has made you. But you ought to know who you are in the first place. And that's why your thinking should align with who you are. Your speaking should align with who you are. Then your results will align with who you are. Glory be to God in the highest. Then the second, frankincense. Come on, church. Anybody here? Praise the Lord. Frankincense. The most active ingredient in the perfume or the oil they use in worship. In fact, the only active ingredient. And of course, it is made clear in the book of Exodus. It said, you cannot use these for any other purpose other than worship. So for them to have brought frankincense to worship the boy Jesus, they were saying, you are God. They were wise. So what's your worship all about? Your worship is, come on, honoring the worth of that person. And believe in me, it does something to them. What I'm saying is this. Worship defines who you are. At least as perceived by the person who is worshiping. If there is one person here today that is worshiping, I assure you in the name of Jesus, we are not playing games as Christians. You will manifest God. You know what God said to that woman at the well of Samaria? What Jesus said to her? He said, the time has come. And now is the time when the true worshippers, there are many worshippers, there are a few true worshippers. When the true worshippers, after Herod was not a true worshipper, now you know that. When the true worshippers, we're worshiping how? In spirit. Come on, church. And in truth. The verse doesn't just stop there. It says, for God is what? Seeking such to worship him. God is seeking and you are seeking. God is seeking you and you are seeking him. 2, get 4. QED. I'm not joking. Well, if I'm laughing and joking, this is the story of my life. My siblings are here. My in-laws are here. The only thing you see here is grace working. God giving me the grace to at least see him. Grace to follow him. Even when I struggle, follow him. And that's it. And I have not started yet. And can I say that of everyone hearing me today? You have left everything to come and worship him today. You will see God in your life like you have never seen it before. In the name of Jesus. And let me warn you, it's going to be generational. Because whatever God does is permanent. The only reason to worship him, that's all. And that's why anytime we come and we gather together, it's like iron sharpening iron. you'll be better. Spiritually, emotionally, intellectually, physically, you will get better. You say, why? Because you are dealing with your creator. So they came to worship him as king, and they came to worship him as God. Glory be to God in the highest. Come on, a scripture. He said, something is the mystery of godliness, that God manifests in the flesh. Paul was writing to Timothy in the book of Timothy. 1 John chapter 1. In the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was. Come on, talk to me. The word was. Come on, talk to me. The word was. Come on, talk to me. The word was. Who was in the beginning with God? The word. And what was the word? God. And then verse 14. The same word, the same God manifested how? In flesh. He is God. We don't doubt that. We don't hide it. Hinduism will not agree. Buddhism will not agree. Islam will not agree. That's why Christianity is not a religion. It's a lifestyle. It's God. Oh, I feel the fire right to my leg. They came to worship him as the King of Kings, as God. Number three, myrrh. Bitter herb. Now, what you understand about myrrh is this. When he was hanging on the cross, guess what happened? They came to give him wine mixed with myrrh. He couldn't take it. Of course, he left it. It's associated with death. They said myrrh is what they use to embalm in that world. To embalm death. So in other words, they came to worship him as the Lamb of God that will die alive. And the strange thing, ladies and gentlemen, the custodians of the scroll in the temple didn't see. And that's why, while we celebrate Christmas today, we are moving forward in the name of Jesus. Spiritually, emotionally, physically, financially, maritally. I say you are getting better in the name of Jesus. You can't worship him and remain the same. No. Abraham worshipped him. He said, don't kill that boy. Come on, get him up. Get the ram. He said, now I know of a truth. You are who you say you are. You love me indeed. He said, oh, you struggle to have one, you'll be the father of me. That's what worship does. Is there any area of your life you want to increase? You have an opportunity now. Just turned to him and said, no, I will worship you with everything. I wrote something down as I close. Say, gold symbolizes your wealth, symbolizes kingship. Worshiping with your wealth is the source of your wealth. It says, frankincense, your worship is God. Man, your witness. He's our Savior. You know, I was talking to some pastors only some few weeks ago, and I was talking to my children separately. I said to my children, I said, one thing that my parents never stopped doing all my life until they went one after the other to glory. As long as we are home, we prayed. They will have you give a memory verse. We didn't understand it. And when we sit down to pray, our friends outside will be walking by, they'll be peeping to look at us, and we were so shy of it. Is Jesus your witness? Are you a witness for him? Or are you shy of your friend? Are you intimidated by friends? They came to worship, they were bold with it. And when they got through, the Holy Ghost ministered to them, said, go another way. You'll be led. I felt the fire. They did that constantly. Ladies and gentlemen, I can see clearly to you without any doubt. I can see the result of that in the lives of we, the children. Then I can see it today. We are not millionaires. Some of us are not even thousandaires. But we have God. And it's clear. So I tell my children, I said, don't joke. I'm telling you. This thing about Bible, this thing about praying, this thing about going to church, sometimes looks like rituals. No. The reason is clear. Worship. You get the reward of worship. You will see it on your children. Merry Christmas. I know here we have, I don't know how many thousands are here today, wise men and women. Thank you. in the name of Jesus. Pastor, Shakara, it's not Shakara. After all, when they stood before the council, these ones didn't go to school. They didn't go to school. When they interviewed them, they say, "Ha!" One say, "You don't know. They have been with Jesus. Which company are you keeping?" Please write us when the things begin to happen. Father, we give you praise. We give you honor. We worship.
We know that you have been tremendously blessed by this message. For additional information and materials from Pastor Taiwo Odukoya, please contact us at the Fountain of Life Church, 12 Industrial Estate Road by PZ Industries, Off Town Planning Way, Ilukweju, Lagos. Visit our website at www.tfolc.org. Thank you. God bless you.